For good reason, most of them were Giant fans. Giants lose in overtime by the score of 23-20 to the rival Jets. Giants fall to 5-7. Again, take a big time hit on their playoff hopes. How you doing, everyone? Welcome to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my colleagues today, Sean O'Hara, Roman Oven, and Amani Toomer. And guys, once again, you know, we can talk about it. They didn't do this, they didn't do that. Once again, the defense could not stop them when they needed to stop them.
It's deja vu. I mean, we literally sit here week in and week out, and the Giants continue to find ways to lose games. The fifth time this season they have lost the game with a lead going into the fourth quarter. And the only thing I can really put it on, you touched on the defense, Russ. I put it on the offense, because when you have a lead in the fourth quarter, you have to be able to run the football to close it out. They could not do it, and granted, the Jets' defense was very stout in there. But at some point, you've got to find a way to finish this game out. You can't not take time off the clock, and in the fourth quarter, they had the lead. They gave the ball right back, three and out, basically, and they gave the Jets too many opportunities to come back and win this game.
Yeah, and I know the offensive line is shuffled, and they haven't run the ball a lot consistently in terms of the runs, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, 32nd ranked defense in the league, 390 yards passing for a guy who's been on fire. Smart guy, went to Harvard.
Yeah.
For a guy who's been
and
on
Roman,
16.
He hasn't thrown for 300 yards all season.
Absolutely.
And he torched him.
Yeah, I'm speechless, guys. I'm speechless.
Yeah, it was a very disappointing game. But the Giants did so many good things today that you know, heart really tears you up when they lose a game that they should have won. All less like just like you said, Sean, it's happened too many times this year, five times in one season. That's much too much for them to come out from. But you know, now looking forward, I think they should just. I don't even know what to say with this team. I mean, they keep giving the games up at the end when they should be putting their throat on teams and they're letting them off the hook.
And you know what, too? It's things that should not be happening to a veteran coach in Coach Coughlin. It's things that should not be happening to a veteran quarterback in Eli Manning. I mean, when you're down there and it's fourth and two, you got to take the points. And that field goal at the end there would have been huge for this team, because they would have still been up three, Russ. There's no excuse for it.
Well, look, we're looking at a 5-7 football team. You know, that you are what your record says you are.
Exactly.
At the same point, so many of those losses because they couldn't finish the deal at the end of the game. It's really mind-boggling.
The old saying in the NFL is more games are lost than won. Today was a day where the Giants lost a football game. I think you have to put this on Ben McAdoo, the offense coordinator, going very conservative in the fourth quarter, allowing the Jets opportunity to get their momentum going. I think not taking the points in the fourth quarter really turned the momentum of this game and allowed the Jets to stay alive and keep their momentum going for the fourth quarter.
The Jets absolutely have momentum in the second half of the game. Yeah. I saw this was a tale of two teams, like
you're
said.
Right. Yeah.
The team that had the momentum didn't have it in the second half. The team that was getting after the quarterback, you saw Fitzpatrick on the ground three, four times. Didn't see that in the second half. Jets adjusted. They ran screens. They ran draws. They let their pass rush get ahead of them. Started dumping passes, playing smart football. And you got two good athletic receivers on the outside, and Marshall and Decker, and they control the game in the second half.
Roman, you mentioned the fact that the offensive line got injuries again. You know, Jeff Schwartz went down last week. Now Eric Flowers, so they moved Pugh out. They got Bobby Hart, the rookie, playing right tackle. You've got Justin Pugh moving out to left tackle. Dallas Reynolds into left guard. But that all gets lost because they lost the game. And the effort of Dwayne Harris had the punt return for a touchdown, that gets lost. The effort of Odell Beckham, I mean, single-handedly putting this team on his shoulders, Russ. And
every
then defensively, as much as they gave up a lot of yards from Ryan Fitzpatrick, Cullen Jenkins played a heck of a game.
Yep.
And Jason Pierre-Paul was a force. And they made enough plays to win the game, and it's all for naught. And
we can't win the game.
We can't put it on the kicker, but they should have gone for the field goal earlier on in the game.
All right, well, that's a story outside here at MetLife Stadium. Let's go back inside. Paul Latino caught up with some of the Giants coming off the field.
The mantra, you can only bend but not break for so long. And eventually it wound up costing here at the end of the game once again. How do you deal with it?
I mean, it's a sucky situation, but at the end of the day, you know, we gotta have fight, you know, forget it and drive on. You know, we can't let one play define us or one game define us. So, you know, we gotta get in there, learn from it, and try to do better and, you know, just finish out this season strong, control what we control.
It seemed like the Jets offense was on the field an awful lot. Were you guys gassed at all at the end, toward the end of the fourth quarter in the OT?
I mean, you know, naturally you get gassed with the hurry-up offense, but, you know, I can only contest for myself. You know, it was rigorous. They made some plays. We didn't. And, you know, I can't tell what exactly happened. If people was gassed, we made mistakes or what. All I know is they made the play. We didn't. And so now we just got to get in there and go watch film and figure out how can we fix it.
And then to put it into perspective, obviously another one of these difficult losses really, really puts this season in a very bad situation right now.
I mean, it is, but, you know, at the end of the day, we've been preaching, you know, play one game at a time, and, you know, we got to get in there, and we got to learn from this, and then we got to move on to the next game. And like I said, control what we can control. All we can control is how we finish the season, and everything will take care of itself. So, you know, we can't let this one thing define us and which we won't. So we're going to get in there, we're going to learn, and we're going to get this fixed. And like I said, we'll just see what happens and how the chips fall.
All right, that was Paul DeTino with DeMontre Moore. Again, your final score here at MetLife Stadium. Giants lose by the score of 23-20 in overtime. Their record drops to 5-7, and they take a huge, huge hit in the playoff hopes. All right, let's take care of some business, folks. You got to go to Adorama.com/Giants for a chance to win yourself a Dell Inspiron notebook computer and an Asus notebook computer as well, both powered by Intel. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. All right, a lot more coming up. We'll hear from Coach Coughlin, Eli Manning, Paul DeTino with more players, and it's the story in the NFC East, which is certainly not very good right now for the Giants. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Stay right where you are. A lot more coming up.
This is our house.
Our house!
But what makes it feel like home are the fans.
That's you!
And now we need your help more than ever.
You ready for this?
The Giants are teaming up with Wendy's and you.
You feel like who?
To support local foster care adoption agencies.
Yeah.
The kid!
Simply purchase a premium hamburger at Wendy's.
That was the play.
And $1 goes to help children in local foster care meet their forever family.
Together we can give kids the home field advantage they deserve.
That's what made me think.
Wendy's, the official hamburger restaurant of the Giants.
Yeah, but they were down there.
They say they were down there. You play basketball.
How do you know what they would have done? They would have scored. They would have tried.
Tennis,
anyway.
But you can't play boxing.
So, you can argue all you want.
In 2011, everyone had high hopes for my career. And I remember
I have to look at the tape.
Went completely downhill. I was completely paralyzed. I could not walk whatsoever. It was a massive tumor that had wrapped itself around
my
spine.
Well, I mean, our team put a lot into this. They worked very hard for this.
Who was my surgeon?
They had outstanding practices on Wednesday and Thursday.
They resurrected my career.
To win the game. We didn't win the game. We didn't finish it. We didn't win it.
It was just
so there's a lot of disappointment.
A really great moment for me in my life to be able to get back into the ring. On August 9th, 2014, I became the WBA middleweight champion of the world.
I just think you keep sitting there saying, let's make a play, let's make a play, let's make a play.
And, what, dear?
You know, there was a couple of tipped balls late in the game that might have ended up, could very well have ended up as interceptions. So you, that's part of your thinking, too. Maybe you get a turnover.
Sorry.
A New York millionaire spent $714,000 to learn how to be a pet whisperer.
What? Oh.
You'd make a way better rich person. Lotto, making more New Yorkers rich than any other game.
Well, it's, you know, we've been in position to win games and we haven't won them. And, you know, I'm taking full responsibility for that. But
you're up 10.
It's still, we're there. And as I told the team, we've got to find a way to finish a game. To win a 60-minute game and be in position at the end of the game to win it.
Two, thinking that that would
seems like
certainly give after the long
and
drive
forth,
and the amount of time
we do have opportunities, even offensively, to end the game before they get the ball in the final drive, and we haven't been able to do that. So
obviously, we didn't score there. We had an interception there. They drove, kicked field goal, and then we didn't do anything with the ball again. So we have a four-minute offense.
It's obvious that we were going to run the ball or try to run it. We did. We did try to run it.
End the game with the ball in our hands. We haven't done that. We end up kicking the ball back, and the other team scores. So. You know, we
respectable
get an overtime,
job, I'm sure.
I mean,
he went out there and battled.
Him,
he's been in a lot of big games
down,
as a young,
field goal range.
A young player. Yeah. He's only going to get better.
But,
we had to obviously go to him, and we did.
To be honest with you, I was not thinking.
I think he certainly
goal,
held his
we
own.
We left ourselves with a long field goal, and
no one has reported
for whatever
anything
reason we missed it. I think it's the first one that Josh has missed all year. So
Just to put them on both sides.
You know, I do think you got to score more than 20 points to win in this league. And you got an outstanding special teams play.
But again.
Well, obviously, I've made a decision to be very aggressive at the end of the game. I've done it all year long.
20 to 10.
Don't have a lot to show for it, but we've tried to do that. But we try to take some of the pressure off of everybody. And had we scored that touchdown, fourth and two, I think we would have taken a lot of pressure.
Well, yeah, make them score two touchdowns to beat you. But by the same token, if we scored there, fourth and two, then we push the score up to where maybe they can't beat us with.
Lance Meadowbank here with you as we are recapping the Jets' 23-20 victory over the New York Giants. You just heard Tom Coughlin reacting to the loss. The coach's press conference is brought to you by your Tri-State Mercedes-Benz dealers. We will await reaction from the locker room. Bob Pop and John Schmelk will be joining us momentarily as we hear from a number of players as they are reflecting on yet another heartbreaker for the Giants here at MetLife Stadium. When you look at the losses this season, now 5 of 7, 6 of 7 have been decided by 4 points or less. Tom Coughlin asked about that fourth and goal opportunity. The two, we'll get into more on that. Bob Papa is down in the locker room.
How do you know what they would have done?
That's the only thing that matters that we lost.
So we can argue all you want.
The locker of Robert Ayers.
You know, I'd have to look at the tape. I can't tell you that.
Tom, when you said hard to even bring a team up after that, what are you describing there? Was that your scene in your locker room or just...
Well, it's difficult. Well, I mean, again, they put an all, our team put a lot into this. They worked very hard for this. They had outstanding practices on Wednesday and Thursday. We were in good position to win the game. We didn't win the game. We didn't finish it. We didn't win it. So there's a lot of disappointment, obviously. That's all I meant.
It's obviously the first time that your defense had issues in the fourth quarter or late in the game, but are they just wearing down in those situations or being used?
I just think you keep sitting there saying, let's make a play. And, you know, there was a couple of tip balls late in the game there that might have ended up, could very well have ended up as interceptions. So you that's part of your thinking, too. Maybe you get a turnover.
Tom, you've given up the winning points prior to today 3 times in the last 10 seconds of the game, and today it was an overtime game. Is there a way to characterize this or put into perspective how difficult the season has been from that regard?
Well, it's, you know, we've been in position to win games, and we haven't won. And, you know, I'm taking full responsibility for that. But it's still, we're there. And as I told the team, we've got to find a way to finish a game, to win a 60-minute game and be in position at the end of the game to win it. It seems like back and forth, we do have opportunities, even offensively, to end the game before they get the ball in the final drive, and we haven't been able to do that. So,
can you talk about your offensive line? You know, you had a lot of the rookie heart started out there today, and just the way they performed for you.
Well, it's obvious that we were going to run the ball and try to run it, and we did. We did try to run it, and I thought, I haven't seen the tape, but he did a respectable job, I'm sure. I mean, he went out there and battled. He's been in a lot of big games as a young player. He's only going to get better. So we had to obviously go to him, and we did, and I think he certainly held his own.
Any update on Flowers?
No one has reported anything to me. No.
What is the thinking behind moving JPP to the other side today?
Just to put him on both sides. Just to be able to use him on both sides.
Does the way your defense has been playing and giving up these longer drives affect you and the way you coach and some of the decisions that you make?
Well, obviously, I've made a decision to be very aggressive at the end of the games. I've done it all year long. Don't have a lot to show for it, but we've tried to do that. But we tried to take some of the pressure off of everybody. And had we scored that touchdown, fourth and two, I think we would have taken a lot of pressure on.
Okay. An obviously disappointed head coach, Tom Coughlin, understandably so. They lose for the 7th time this season. And I'll tell you something. Coach Coughlin had said that we've been in position to win games and we didn't get the job done. Of their 7 losses, 5 were late. with the exception of the second game against the Falcons, which they lost with a minute 14 left, all were in closing seconds. I mean, so winning is a good habit, losing is a bad habit, and losing late. To me, this team has no confidence late in the game.
Well, Tom Coughlin goes down with the ship. He took full responsibility for the fourth down call. He said all the momentum, all that had led up to that, they had a lot of time on the clock. He wanted to end it with a touchdown. I can agree with his approach there, but if you look at the totality of this, first downs, total yards, rushing yards, passing yards, time of possession, 10 more minutes. The Jets did better than the Giants in every single category. The only category they didn't do was penalties the same and the same amount of turnovers. So this team coming into this game was pretty evenly matched. And it really had to be who coached the best, who managed the clock the best, who won the best up front. And all that goes to the Jets. And we could talk about all the other games, all the other fourth quarter collapses, guys. But looking at this game, maybe the theme is the same, but the formula happened today that it happened in those other games.
You're right. There are evenly matched teams. And usually when you've got evenly matched teams, it comes to a special teams play or something like that. And Tom Quinn, I thought, came up with a brilliant return to allow Harris to get to run that 80-yard touchdown. Having Odell Beckham and Harris in the same, both back there returning. As Harris caught the ball, Odell went to the opposite side of the field, drawing at least two defenders, opening up a lane. Those are the types of plays that should, in an evenly matched game, should be enough to get you over the edge. And this is, it just didn't happen today. There's a lot of good plays that happened by the Giants today, but it just wasn't enough. And at the end of the game, when they needed to close it out, four-minute offense. What's 4 minutes offense? When you're running the ball to run out the clock. They weren't able to do that, and this is what happens again for the fifth time.
Yeah, and what's the percentage, Coach? You always talk about this. What's the percentage when you score on special teams and you get
it's
a big
like 80.
Sack. 80, the percentage of winning. The Giants is something they don't do every week.
Yeah.
It's a special teams touchdown. So you thought this game was in their hands, and it wasn't.
And they got the turnover that they were – I mean, they ended up settling for the field goal, but they got the turnover right there basically in their own red zone.
Red zone, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just listening to Coach Coughlin, I mean, he sounds, you know, perplexed. He's run out of answers. And you know, the crazy thing is that – Russ, they're still in the mix. You know, I mean, if they were in any other division, this season would be over and people would be calling for Coach Coughlin's head because they would be out of it. They wouldn't be. But the fact is, if the Washington Redskins lose to the Cowboys tomorrow night, the Giants are only one game behind, so they still have something to play for. But to your point, Roman, the Giants, I mean, you can't just keep fumbling these games away and just keep giving them over. At some point in time, you do that enough, it costs players and coaches their jobs.
Well, we've been saying it. As Imani was talking, I'm saying to myself, we've been hearing it. All of us have been saying, they did it again. Same old way to lose, they did it again. Late or whatever, no matter if it's offense, defense, whatever, they haven't been able to close the deal. The net result is a 5-7 record, but as Sean says, they are still in the picture. All right, let's take care of a little business, though, folks. Guests of our post-game show will receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Terrific Steakhouse, located in Manhattan at 5th Avenue and 28th Street. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. All right, a lot more coming up here on Giants Post Game Live. On My Nine, we'll be hearing from quarterback Eli Manning. I'm sure Eli is going to be just as unhappy as his head coach, Tom Coughlin, was, so stay right where you are. right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Again, your final score from MetLife Stadium in overtime. Jets knock off the Giants by the score of 23-20, handing the Giants their seventh loss of the season, drops them to a 5-7 record. But as Sean said, they are still into the playoff picture for the time being anyway. Right now, we'll go back inside. Let's hear from what Odell Beckham Jr. had to say after the game.
Did you feel like this game was secure? Did you feel like you had it in your hands?
For sure, yeah. I thought we were going to come out with a win, a much-needed win. Rival, non-rival scenario, any of that, it's a must-win, and we didn't get it done.
Odell, was that just frustration when you kicked the ball there in overtime?
No. If I would have thrown it back, I really don't see the difference. You know, you kick the ball back, it's not – like I'm screaming F-bombs and kicking the ball back. You know, you kick it back to the huddle, and we go to the 4th-and-2 play. I don't really think it's a penalty, but it's not my job to make calls.
But how frustrating is this getting these losses like this? So many this year like this, down the wire.
Go back up just a little bit for me, please. It's unfortunate. You know, these are the games we've been in all year, and it's the reason we're 5-7. It's the difference between being 10-2. 9-3, it's games like this. So, like I said, you just keep moving forward and learn from it.
Odell, do you feel like no matter what you do out there, and you can do a lot of great things, you still can't get this team to get a W?
I should have called the ball in the end zone. It could have been a touchdown there. We could have had touchdowns down at the goal line. There's so many plays that can happen and don't happen or should happen and didn't happen. And I mean, what could you do besides keep playing? You keep playing, and you make as many plays as you can, and hopefully the team with the most plays made comes out on top. And, we just didn't do a great job of finishing the day.
Are you surprised at the field goal, not passing up the field goal for a 13-point lead?
No, I don't think it was the wrong call. We just need to execute, come out and score. We've been stuffed at the goal line all year. I don't really think it's a bad call.
How much of an effect did you really have waving the field goal team back to the sideline before the timeout? Do you think you changed anybody's decision, or were you guys definitely go for it?
I have no idea. We're kind of just all sitting there waiting to see what the call is going to be, and we decided to go for it, and we didn't get it. So what could you? You get on defense, you play defense, you make stops. You can never let plays just determine the outcome of a game unless they're the play that's in the fourth quarter with seconds and there's no time on the clock. That's the only way. So you just got to keep fighting through anything.
All right, Odell Beckham Jr. Again, 6 catches today, 149 yards and a touchdown. His 5th straight 100-yard game. One thing about Odell Beckham Jr., you and I were sitting watching the game together upstairs. He might have a little hot dog in him. But Odell Beckham Jr., besides being a great athlete, just a super talented guy, he competes on every play.
He really does, and I think that's one of the reasons why. You know, he had 11 targets today. He had 18 targets last week. It seems like a lot of targets, but today I think he should have had more closer to 18. He seemed like the only guy there that really brought the fire today, and I think he needed to get fed a little bit more. I think who knows how many catches he could have had if he would have got like 18 targets like he did last week. Sounds kind of funny for me to say 18 targets for one player, but I think what he's done in today's game and what he did is done this whole season, I think he deserves more targets. And there are some players on that field that I don't think deserve any of the targets that they're getting.
You know, William Tye stepped up and made a couple of big catches. Yeah. But let's be honest, Odell Beckham is the entire offense.
Exactly.
And he's basically putting this team on his shoulders. And really, you know, you hear the fans and the crowd, they go nuts when the ball is thrown to him. And it's almost like everybody else on the field slows down. And Odell Beckham speeds up when the ball is thrown to him. And the energy starts to erupt on the sidelines for the Giants players and for the fans. So, I mean, just all I have to say is for Giants fans, be thankful for what you have. Be thankful you have Odell Beckham, because I don't know where they would be without him.
Yeah, offense or defense, offenses are based on who can make the explosive plays. If you're a good team in the National Football League, you've got guys that can stretch defenses, take the top off of defenses, or whatever the jargon is that people are saying now. But one thing I appreciate about Odell Beckham, and we have to have this honest discussion, his biggest games have been in losses. His preseason, his pregame warm-up is always shown on national TV, and he does things on hand. But he's an explosive guy, and he cares about winning. He made a comment that he supported Coach Coughlin going for it on fourth down. That's a team player. That's a guy who wants to win. No matter how much attention he's getting, no matter how much flash or how many commercials, he's a guy that wants to win. He's a football player. And that's what's going to make him successful in the National Football League. We all played 10-plus years. We want guys that are football players. He's a football player first, a receiver second.
Yeah, well, as he said, it's just not execution. And that has been the demise of the Giants. Most of those seven losses, certainly five times late in the game.
All right, you're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. A lot more coming up. We're going to hear from quarterback Eli Manning, so please stay right where you are.
Loss. I don't know what to say. Just go look at film and see where we made our mistakes at. We played well, you know, throughout the fourth quarters. We just ain't finished the game.
It seemed like early on in this game, you guys were getting probably a more consistent pass rush than we've seen all year. What was going right for you guys in that first half?
We were just working together, you know, as one, as a team. You know, we was communicating better than we normally do. And we work on it all week in practice. Guys, we're just getting after it.
Can you take us to that final drive? Excuse me, I'm sorry. And regular
I don't even remember the final drive, man. I'm just pissed off, you know what I'm saying?
Final question. We saw you on the left side of the defensive line more today than we've seen in a lot of the year. Did that have to do with your plan hand? What was the thinking behind playing in that spot a little bit more?
I just repped it all week. And, you know, I play both sides, so it doesn't matter to me. You know, that was something I felt comfortable. I repped it all weekend. My coach wanted me to try it out, You know, I did pretty well over there. So you'll see me back and forth. There's no set spot for me, so I'm just letting y'all know right now.
They ran a lot of screens and underneath
passes. Yeah, well, we just didn't stop it. You know, they played a heck of a game. Pass off to them.
Jason, how frustrating is this, knowing that you had a 10-point lead late like you did?
Very, very frustrating. You know, that's how we're going to go back and look at the film and correct what we need to correct.
Jason, you've been on defenses that could finish drives, finish games like this. What's the difference here? What are you guys not doing in the fourth quarter?
I don't know. We got to go look at the film. You know, we played a good game. Everybody played well. You know, me personally, as long as everybody gave 110%, I'm fine with it. You know, I gave 110% today, and I walked off that field knowing that I did my job. So.
You still feel like there's time left?
There's a lot of games to be played, you know. So, you know, just move on to the next game, take one game at a time, you know.
Don't tell me. When you get into these situations that anybody is on the defense is thinking about what's happened in earlier games when the late leads have been lost.
I didn't hear not one thing you said.
Do you think that anybody on the defense, when you get into these situations where you have to hold a lead late, is thinking about earlier games in the season when they couldn't hold the lead?
No, those games are over. You know, we had a chance to win those games, and we didn't. You know, I wish I was here earlier, you know, but I'm here now. But those games are in the past. We got to move on to the next game and move forward and you know, up next. It's basically it for us.
All right. That was Jason Pierre-Paul. Let's talk about a little bit of defense. Certainly, you know, since Jason is back, there has been certainly much more of a pass rush. But again, at the end, and you can see the disappointment on him, it's all the same thing. Everybody from the coach on down saying the same thing. Another one, basically, that got away because they couldn't close the deal.
You know, I think for JPP, you know, it's great to see him back out there. And look, he's playing his heart out. I thought Kellen Jenkins played well. Robert Ayers had a couple big plays. Steve Spagnuolo, you know, everybody's going to look at these stats, and you mentioned they're dead last in almost every defensive category. But that being said, this Giants defense held the Jets offense to field goals. And I mean, when you go into halftime at 20-10, against this Jets offense. They are the number one ranked red zone offense coming into this game, too. And they made them kick field goals. You know, there's something to be said for that, for the fight. And when you look out there at who's your linebackers, Iwani Onga, I mean, Beeson's on the sideline, Kennard's out. You know, the defensive lineup is just, you know, I mean, it's a hodgepodge of players, really. And Spags, you know, I'm going to give him a little bit of credit for finding a way to hold the fort there and not give up touchdowns.
Yeah, Spags always did a good job, especially like when you were here in the earlier years, of just maximizing guys' abilities. And the line that he had back then, when OC and Tuck and everybody was younger, and AP at linebacker, you obviously don't have those guys, but you did see them get in the Fitzpatrick. You did see a 10-point lead. You did see them only scoring 10 points up to a certain point in the game. And this is where the offense has to help them out, help that defense by expanding that lead, making it 27-10 or 23-10. Now you make them predictable. Now you would say with Fitzpatrick to throw 50 times, that's a detriment, but it wasn't. So later in the game, a lot of those passes that he threw were chuck and ducks and screens and low underneath stuff. A
lot of screens.
Yeah, taking advantage of that pass rush, and that's what slowed the game down, I think, for this defense.
Yeah, I mean, for the beginning of the year, the pass rush was the issue, and the secondary was pretty good. But now you look at the secondary, and they're really getting bored. They're really getting burned. They're really trying to find ways to mix and match and try to confuse quarterbacks with zones and man. And Ryan Fitzpatrick he had it all down, Pat. Every time the Giants tried to do something, he had an answer for it right away. A lot of those quick passes down towards the end of the game in that last drive were because he saw the pre-snap read. He knew where to go with the football right when the ball hit his hands. And getting the ball out of your hands quickly when you're playing against a secondary that's not as talented as maybe some of the other secondaries you face in the NFL, this is what you get. An easy, a systematic drive that loses you games towards the end.
All right, from here outside of MetLife Stadium, let's now go back inside. Paul Dottino, a little while ago, spoke with Cullen Jenkins.
Cullen, you guys fought. I was on the sideline. I watched it. I know how hard you guys fought, and that's why I'm sure this hurts as much as it does. many opportunities for the offense to give you more of a cushion. And, of course, at the end, it got away. I know you being one of the veteran leaders on this team, you're going to say it doesn't matter. We have to stop them. How difficult was the fourth quarter and the overtime to get through?
Tough. The thing that makes it most tough is it's become a consistent pattern. If we just lost a close game and, you know, that was out of character for us, then, you know, we would regroup and, you know, we would go in and say, you know, all right, we're better than this. But we've developed a consistent pattern of letting these games slip away, and that's what hurts the most because we have every intention to right that ship. We come in at halftime and everybody's aware of it, and we say, let's go close this game out. Let's go, you know, make the plays we need to make, and then we don't do it.
So, you know, the funny part to me is it's not always the same thing either. I mean, it's a penalty here, it's a drop pass here, it's a crazy turnover here, it's a busted coverage there. It's almost never the same thing. And that's why I don't know how hard that is to fix when you can't put your finger on just one thing. It makes it really difficult.
Yeah, we've been inventing ways to lose games. This is one of the toughest years in my career, you know, and we invent ways to lose games. We have every opportunity. We have opportunities to seal the game, and it's crazy. We got to get it right.
What if I can ask you about the end of the fourth quarter? Fitzpatrick had a scramble on fourth down that wound up getting them the first down, and they continued their drive. On that last drive, was there one or two plays there that you just really shake your head at, that you wish you had back more than anyone else? I won't even talk about the overtime.
Well, I know particular to scramble. Fitzpatrick, as a D lineman, we knew coming into the game that he'll take off on us and run. If we don't keep our rush lanes balanced, then that's got to be something that we've got to do a better job up front. And I wish I could have that one back, because as a defensive line, we didn't balance the rush right, and we let him get it.
All right, Colin Jenkins, another unhappy Giant, and understandably so. We'll have more with Paul Dottino and other player reaction coming up. Stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9.
Modern Family presents Philzosophy.
I've always said that if my son thinks of me as one of his idiot friends, then I've succeeded as a dad.
All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, everybody, here on My Nine. Again, from outside, let's now go back inside MetLife Stadium, catch up with Paul Dottino, who spoke with Weston Richburg.
Well, Weston, obviously, leaving points on the board in a number of different spots in this game eventually came back to haunt you. Did you know at that time that it would be that way, or did you feel comfortable that the lead was going to hold up?
No, we weren't comfortable. Anytime, you know, we have a chance to put on put points up, we need to do that. We didn't do that enough times tonight.
Now, even as the Jets were coming back in the fourth quarter, I mean, it goes to overtime, and the defense holds them to three. I'm thinking you guys are probably pretty confident you're going to be able to get down there. In fact, you did get into field goal range.
Yeah, when we get there, we've got to score touchdowns. That's been our emphasis when we get in that area of the field is to score touchdowns, and that didn't happen.
What if anything at this point in the season? We've talked about this, unfortunately, a lot about the running game. Now, they've got a really good rush defense, so I'm not saying that it would have been easy at all, but how difficult was it to try to get a running game going to control the clock a little? Because I know that your defense was on the field a long time.
From my perspective, we just got to keep working. I'm getting better.
All right, fellas, that's all we got here. Weston Richburg, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, back to you.
All right, Paul Dottino, thank you. And Weston Richburg, obviously another unhappy Jet, and a Giant, I should say, understandably. So let me ask you guys this. I got two big offensive linemen sitting here.
Sure.
Medium size.
Hit us with your best shot.
Lean.
Okay. What is the problem with the running game? Is it the banged-up offensive line, or is it the running backs, or is it a combination of the
two? You want first dab?
Yeah. I mean, every week I look at these numbers, and I know that the nature of the NFL now is three-step drops and quick passes are just as good as runs, but if you're getting single-digit carries, you never generate enough momentum, whereas when you're getting that 13, 14, 15 carry, then the big runs come. So sometimes you're running like charity yards just to hope to get three so you can get to a nice second and seven and throw the ball. And I think that's indicative of where the running game is now, not only for this team but for the NFL. But it affects the guys. I mean, guys need to be fed. Andre Williams, Rashad Jennings, these guys need to be fed. So you could talk about the offensive line. And I mean, Bobby Hart fought his tail off on the right side. But, again, if these guys aren't getting the carries, and I know it's circumstantial, but if they are not getting their carries, they cannot get enough momentum to start to get those big yards.
Yeah, and you see the rushing attempts right there. You add four more rushes for Shane Vereen, and you've got 23 rushes between four running backs. The problem in my mind, Russ, to answer your question, is I would rather have one running back with 22 carries and let him get some rhythm. And hey, listen, yeah, Let's get a feel for how we're blocking each one of these plays, how the defense is playing it. Maybe you can get into a little bit of a rhythm. You know, go Janet Jackson on him with a little Rhythm Nation. I'm not seeing it. And the problem is it's not their philosophy. Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. Is the coaching staff waiting for one of the running backs to come forward to be that guy?
I think it should, because that's how you, like we're talking about, if you're a running back, you're getting the ball. Every time you run the ball, you're learning, and you're setting plays up, and you're setting up future plays. And if you only get a couple yards, you're not thinking about setting things up. What you're thinking about is getting the yards that you're supposed to get. Sometimes you got to turn a little something down to where a big play, a cutback lane, or any something that you see as you get tackled. Those are things that you really have to get a feel of during the game, and I don't think any of them are getting that type of feel.
No. All right, well, we're going to hear what Eli Manning has to say in a little bit, so stay right where you are, folks. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Back to Giants Post Game Live, everybody. As promised, quarterback Eli Manning.
What happened on that play?
No, you know, opportunity for us to get a, you know, get a three-score lead and you know, go up 17 with the, you know, limited time left, or, you know, a chance to win the game right there. You know, they had a good coverage and you know, they played it well and then got, you know, decent pressure. I didn't have really time to scramble around or get to my, you know, my last option to the running back. And so just, you know, tried to, you know, just a bad, you know, you're in a bad situation at that point. Whether you take a sack, do you try to throw it away? Do you give it a guy a shot? Maybe get a, you know, pops up our way. Obviously, you know, it was intercepted and, you know, didn't have much of an opportunity right there.
Eli, when you think about for a moment the entire season, unfortunately
for you guys, this is not the first fourth quarter. Is it possible to even just put into words, like, how that feels? Like, not so much just what's gone wrong, but just when you look back, how many lost opportunities? Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it seems like, you know, most of the losses have come that way. You know, besides the Philadelphia game where they got after us pretty good. Every other one, you know, we've had opportunities. We've had chances. We've been right there in the mix. And, you know, it's on the last drive or, you know, within the last drives. And either, you know, we just got to find ways to make some critical plays in the game in the fourth quarter. And we haven't been able to make enough of them to win these tight games.
Eli, on the fourth and two. But any time it's going to go up 10, you think you guys are just going to kick the field goal, try to go up 13 here?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know what the circumstance. I think to try to get the, you know, go up 17 right there, you know, is a you know, great opportunity and to you know, extend the lead and you know, we you know, didn't work out. That's football. We got to do a better job and execute a little bit better there.
You've been around the league long enough to know criticism coaches take under these circumstances. Do you feel like Coach
Popovich
is going to take a lot of deserved criticism, or what? You know,
no,
different decisions, including today's that one that
Popovich said. You know, we got down there earlier, went, you know, and you know, kicked the field goal and got down the second time and a chance to win the game. You know, maybe not win the game right there, but extend the lead and give yourself three scores. You know, I like the call. I think it's the right call. I think you know. We got to execute. We got to put it in right there. And
once again, you hear Eli saying, "You got to execute. You got to execute." It's listen. We've been hearing this from the top of the show right now, and we've been hearing it all season long. They're just not getting it done. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, they're not getting it done. And I think one of the things that kind of the bright spot is Eli Manning, the way he has been playing this entire year. And he just needs to – I think he needs to zero in on who he needs to throw the ball to. I think Odell Beckham needs catches, and everybody else needs to just get whatever is left over, because Odell Beckham seems like the guy that comes to play consistently every week. And I can't say that about everybody else.
Yeah, Sean, you talked about Will Tye and the type of job he did today. And I mean, Larry Donnell is supposed to get those carries. He hasn't been there. Yeah. You look at Vereen. You look at the catch he was getting early on. So Eli Manning has managed his talent well. And honestly, guys, I held my breath when he ran out of bounds that one where he got hit.
He should have run out of bounds. He took the hit.
But, so did everybody else hold there.
Well, we know Eli can't slide.
Yeah, but high accountability from the quarterback of the Giants. I mean, he takes it on the chin every week. He finds a way to win, and he's played better each season, the last two seasons especially. And so you wish he had more help around him in terms of rallying better, more explosive plays besides just one guy in Odell Beckham.
You know, Eli mentioned that he liked the call and they went for it, you know, on fourth down. And look, I get that, hey, we're trying to step on their throat. We're trying to bury them. But you got to throw the ball up. It's fourth down.
Right.
So throw the ball up so that somebody can catch it. And the only two things that I think Eli will look back on this game and these throws is that throw, I got to find Odell on fourth down. I got to find him. And the third and six at the end, you can't go to Reuben Randall at that point.
No,
you
got
to find Odell Beckham. With the game on the line, find Odell Beckham.
Well, right now they're looking for a lot of answers and they can't find it because right now the record's 5-7. All right, stay right where you are. We've got our final thoughts coming up. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Giants postgame live here on My Nine. There is a current look at the NFC East standings, and your
dumpster fire.
And right now, Philadelphia is currently losing to the New England Patriots, and who'd have thunk it? But the Giants going to be rooting big time for their arch rivals, the Dallas Cowboys, tomorrow night when they face another arch rival, those Washington Redskins. Now let's take a look at what's coming up for your New York Giants Monday night, a week from tomorrow night. They will be in Miami facing the Dolphins, followed by, let me tell you what, schedule, that's not the easiest schedule. The Panthers.
Yeah, Carolina's undefeated. Minnesota, they just got smoked by Seattle.
And then they finish off with the Philadelphia Eagles right back here at MetLife Stadium. I'll tell you what, it's, you know, it leaves you scratching your head. But again, as you said, if the Cowboys can beat the Skins tomorrow night,
yeah,
then it's back to
shuffle
revival.
Reshuffle the deck if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Coach Coughlin, you're trying to find a way to, how do I get my team to swallow this pill as much as it hurts, as much as the bad taste in our mouth, but I've got to find a way to get this team regrouped because we still have a shot at being in the playoffs.
Yeah, until you're out, you're not out. That's all I said.
When I looked at the schedule earlier in the season, you say they can get to this point, 9 wins or so down the stretch because Carolina, how well they were playing, but now you got yourself in the dogfight, so you've got to really, you have to win out.
But quickly, look, winning builds confidence, losing it goes the other way. We're in trouble now?
Cullen Jenkins says they're inventing ways to lose games. That, to me, is more troubling than anything that happened today because they're starting to internalize it and believe it.
Yeah.
Again, it's a very, very tough situation, but as they say, let them rest in peace. Yogi used to say, it ain't over till it's over. For my colleagues here today, Amani Toomer, Roman Oben, Sean O'Hara, I am Russ Salzberg. You've been watching Giants Post Game Live. Here on My Nine, we will see you a week from tomorrow night following the Giants and the Dolphins in Miami. Thanks for being part of the show, folks. We'll see you on December 14th.